Psalm 57. And read a few verses. Psalm 57, beginning in verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up, Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. That's reading down through verse 7, Psalm 57. Let's bow for just another moment of prayer. Our Father, we pause in thy presence again to thank you, Lord, for this time together, for your mercy and your goodness. We come to thank you, Lord, for thy precious word and for the way you've helped us and touched our hearts in the Bible study hour concerning thy prophet Elijah. And now, Lord, as we wait before you again with thy word open to Psalm 57, we confess that in ourselves and of ourselves, we can do nothing with any lasting value. We confess, Lord, as fallen creatures, that these stammering lips could do nothing to put a message in another's heart or even our own heart. But Lord, we're not interested in just going from audibly from mouth to ears. But Lord, if you could be pleased to take thy precious word and plant it in some heart, that's our great need this morning. That you would work, O Lord. In ourselves, we're nothing but sin, polluted with it, plagued by it, every moment we live. But we're glad, O Lord, that thou art great, holy and righteous, merciful. Thank you, Lord, that you're merciful. We ask that you would move upon us just now and that you would touch our hearts today and that your word would have free course and, Lord, that it would accomplish that as you said it would, whereunto it's sent. Help us, Lord, not to complain or whine that it does not do what we thought it ought to do. But we know, Lord, that it's going to accomplish what you've designed it to do and you've sent it to do. Help us, Lord, to cry to you for a word as individuals, knowing how greatly we need you in this dark hour. And Lord, what you do, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Psalm 57. This psalm was written while David was a young man, fleeing from King Saul, who in a rage of jealousy wanted to kill David. He saw that the hearts of the people were being turned to David. And this thing we call envy, jealousy, was eating him alive. We all have a Saul living in us, by the way. But I trust we all have a David living in us as well. David and his men had caught Saul and his men sleeping in a cave. And David's men said to him, "Kill him. Now's your chance." What they didn't know was that David wasn't operating by chance. He was operating by what thus saith the Lord. But David said, "No, I'll just cut off the skirt of his robe, a little piece of his garment. Let him know I've been here. And let him know that I could have killed him, but didn't." So that's what David did. You can read all about that in 1 Samuel 24. David was a young man so God conscious, knowing that mean as Saul was, he was God's anointed, and David wouldn't kill him. Matter of fact, the Bible says, just for cutting off the skirt of Saul's robe, David's heart was smitten that he'd even done that. That is very, very precious. You and I live in a time when there's no respect, not only for God's anointed, but there's no respect for God's church and God's word and for God himself. He's just some sideline in our busy and important lives that we can afford to give him an hour on Sunday, maybe, if nothing else better comes up. Oh, shame, shame on us. We've much to learn from David. And I'm going to give you this morning. I hope y'all wake up now and stay with me. Your Bible open to Psalm 57. We've much to learn from David. The big difference is that he truly had a heart for God and all that is God's. And I sometimes wonder if any of us really do. Notice with me a progression in these verses. David progresses from the soul's condition to the heart's conviction. Wonderful progression. And by the soul, I mean a personality, individuality, desires, longings, and fears. In the first few verses, David is stuck in that realm of the soul's condition. And this is something we need to consider. We need to think about it. Three times we find it mentioned. Verse 1, he said, "My soul trusteth in thee." Trying to get a hold here. Verse 4, he says, "My soul is among lions, those that would destroy me and kill me." And verse 6, he says, "My soul is bowed down." I'm in a low place. The soul is in a mess. But in verse 7, he progresses from the soul's condition to the heart's conviction. That's what he says in verse 7. "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." And our thought, our subject is from verse 7. And I want to speak to us about this thing of a fixed heart. Twice David said it, "My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed." Now question, what is it to have a fixed heart? Wouldn't you like to know that? Sure we would. Well, it does not mean a heart that cannot be broken or is never broken. Don't mean that. It does not mean a heart that does not ache, or a heart that's not crushed at times, putting you in a low valley. David got down there. A fixed heart does not mean to have a life without trouble. That's what we'd like. But that's not a fixed heart. David had lots of troubles. But yet he said, my heart is fixed. What did he mean? Well, the Hebrew word used here for fixed means established, stable, settled, steadfast, prepared. A fixed heart is a set heart. Settle on some things. Fixed convictions. Established. Steadfast. Prepared by God for whatever's coming at us in life. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm prepared for such and such. You're no judge of what you're prepared for. If your heart is fixed, God will take care of the preparing. So I have a few thoughts, about five, from this passage in Psalm 57. I'd like to give us in describing the fixed heart and then ask the all-important question, is your heart fixed? Number one, we would consider a fixed heart and self. A fixed heart and self. A fixed heart is a heart that is fixed concerning self. To come to grips with the ongoing conflict between the spirit and the flesh. To know that our flesh is our enemy. As God's child, it's your friend in the world. It's a friend if you want to live like the devil. It's a friend if you don't want to go against the grain. But it's an enemy. The flesh is our enemy. And in conflict with the Spirit of God in our lives all the time. And to know that the flesh is our enemy. And by flesh, I do not mean flesh and blood. I'm not talking about the physical you can see in the mirror. I mean that flesh that wants to be pampered and bragged on and exalted and made to feel good about itself. That which religious entertainment will do for the flesh. That's directly opposed to the words of Paul. Oh, wretched man that I am. Do you ever feel like that? The flesh that's opposed to the words of Job. Behold, I am vile. The flesh opposed to the words of Abraham. I am but dust and ashes. They ain't absolutely nothing worth anything to me. Except what God does. I'm talking about the flesh opposed to the words of Jacob. I am not worthy of the least of thy mercies, O Lord. Well, that's what a fixed heart concerning self is about. And David's life from his youth was so full of trouble and abuse and heartache and heartbreaks. He's way beyond all the little responses that we give nowadays. Well, I didn't deserve that. Yeah, well, what did you deserve? Or I don't have to put up with that. I believe David would say to us, better be careful talking about what you don't have to put up with. We say, well, I can just get out. That's proud flesh talking. Our ability to get out of anything pretty much consists of getting out of the frying pan and into the fire. That's about all we can do, is make things worse. And I want to say to you this morning, everybody that I know you all have religious heroes, and that's fine. But I want to tell you something. Everybody I know that's in their right mind has some regrets. Some things they'd like to be able to undo. Some things, some words they'd like to be able to unsay. Some actions they'd like to be able to take back. Lord, deliver us from the making it crowd. The fixed heart says, after the mess I've made, I have it better than I deserve. The old self says, you've had it so bad, you deserve something better. You sure deserve to feel sorry for yourself. You don't deserve to be mistreated. You don't deserve to be ignored like you are. You don't deserve to be unappreciated like you are. You get to thinking along that line and your own mind and thoughts becomes your enemy. Flesh moves us to compliment ourselves for all that's right and blame somebody else for all that's wrong. So I'm telling you, the flesh is our enemy. So a fixed heart concerning self is a wonderful thing. Is a wonderful thing. The old army slogan that used to be on TV, be all that you can be. That's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. Self, sinful, rotten, lying, deceiving self is being all it can be. Except God intervene. But a fixed heart concerning self is a wonderful thing. Secondly, I want to see something in this text. A fixed heart and seeking. Seeking. What we're to do. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Seeking. A fixed heart is a heart fixed on seeking God's mercy continually. The only other religious activity than seeking God's mercy is to seek God's justice and say, Lord, I'm measuring up. I don't need your mercy. I just need what's coming to me. I'm a good person. That's a sad, sad mess to be in. But a fixed heart is a heart fixed on seeking continually God's mercy. Look at the first verse. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. Not only is this the first plea in the psalm, but it's repeated a second time. Says it twice. Now, on the surface, in light of how Saul is treating David, David could have cried out, be just unto me, O God. Be just. I don't deserve this treatment. But you see, a fixed heart in time of trouble don't look out. It looks in. If you don't have a fixed heart, you look out. And you get mad. And cuss and fight and rant and rave. But David knew in his heart, apart from grace, he'd be just like Saul. And David knew, as should we, my concern is not how others treat me, but it's how I respond to that treatment. I know by nature it's not in me to respond any differently than they do. So I need your mercy, Lord. Mercy to see inside my own heart. A fixed heart seeks mercy. Then a fixed heart seeks shelter in God's majestic person, His power. David is not hung up on his own ability to protect himself. You ask somebody how they're doing nowadays, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing all right. But tomorrow they get that pink slip. Or the baby has to go to the hospital. Oh, I don't know. You pray. Pray for me. Pray for me. But when everything's all right, oh, I'm doing all right. What's God doing? You're not doing all right when things are all right. That's probably when you're doing the worst. It's when your world falls apart that you even start in the right direction, crying to God. He's seeking shelter in God. Still in verse 1, he says, "For my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge." The scripture likens God to the majestic eagle in flight with its broad outstretched wings. That's the implication here, soaring high above the earth with its eagle eye on all that's going on below. In Deuteronomy 32, the Lord describes His care for Jacob and his seed like this: "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him." In the very next chapter, Deuteronomy 33, a similar description: "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms," the outstretched wings to uphold and care for his little ones. David says, "I'll seek shelter, refuge in the Almighty. He is my hiding place." He was hiding in the cave of Adullam at this time, on the run from Saul. And I believe David would say to us here, this cave I'm hiding in is secondary. And I will tell you something, all that we do physically and think that we do on our own better be secondary. That job I'm on, that discipline I try to enforce, I try to raise my children right, I try to make a living, I try to do this, I try to do, all of your trying better be secondary. That's what David is saying. This cave I'm hiding in is secondary. God is my real refuge. Then a fixed heart seeks and finds comfort in the Lord's control. I'll tell you, it's blessed just to read the Bible one line at a time and think about it. Notice the last statement in verse 1. "Until these calamities be overpassed." Oh, he seeks and finds comfort in the Lord's control. He's saying this situation will change in God's time. That's how we ought to look at things. That's how we ought to honor our God. Instead of going all peace and, oh, will it ever get any better? Oh, will things ever change? That's the old flesh whining, saying, please nurture me back to health, when the Spirit is crucifying it all the time. He says, until these calamities be overpassed, the situation will change in God's time. The psalmist David, he senses and he is sure of the Master's control. My trouble will not end before he says for it to. Neither will it continue longer than he permits it to. His control. Then a third thought. A fixed heart and satisfaction. Satisfaction. Look at verse 2. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. This is David's victory. It's not that his trouble is gone, no. But he trusts God with it. He is satisfied with God's wisdom and God's measure of intervention whenever and however. He could have killed Saul on various occasions. But he says, I'll wait for God that performeth all things for me. If you'll notice there in your Bible, those two words, all things, are in italics, not in the Hebrew text. Omitting those two words momentarily, David is saying, I will cry unto God that performeth for me, who performs on my behalf, who brings to pass his purposes for me. Wow. Are any of us anywhere near being satisfied with what God is doing in all areas of our life? Oh me, oh me. Fourthly, a fixed heart and Saul. We'll be done here in a few minutes. Stay with us. A fixed heart and Saul. Not only is there the self issue, the seeking issue, the satisfaction issue, there's the Saul issue. A fixed heart and Saul. In the next few verses, David talks about Saul. But he doesn't do it apart from knowing that God will deal with Saul. And this is a precious thing. Important thing. Don't ever talk about your enemies or your problems apart from the predominant thought that God will handle it. Especially to an unbeliever. Not even with a believer. All of us are in enough of a ditch without getting pushed on down any further. Don't talk about enemies. Don't talk about problems. Don't talk about troubles as if there's no answer and no hope and no end to it. David here is talking about it, but not apart from the predominant thought that God will handle it. Notice in verse 3, he refers to Saul as one who would swallow me up. But he doesn't say that until he's already said that the Lord shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach. He puts God first, see. He's saying that Saul's desire is nothing beside my fixed heart toward God. Saul is determined, verse 4, like a lion to tear me apart. He's desirous to destroy me. He's determined to destroy me. But he's defeated by God and he can't destroy me. Notice verse 6. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. Well, what about that? Saul can't win. Satan can't win. He'll perish in his own trap when God gets ready to turn it around. I want to tell you that this is something we really need, folks. I don't think y'all are listening to me. This is something we really need. It seems like today the devil has the upper hand. In the world, in the country, in the county, in the city, in the home, in the church, in your life, seems like the devil has the upper hand. And circumstances seem to have him in the winner's circle. But the race is not over. I can't trust my eyes. I can't trust my ears. I can't trust my lips. I can't trust my mind. And I can't trust my heart except it be fixed on God and fixed by God. Fixed concerning the destiny of Saul. He's going down. He's going down. It's a fact. It's a fact. Fifthly and finally, a fixed heart and the sovereign. To recognize, and this is the greatest of all, that God is champion in it all. He is. You say, well, you just don't know what's going on in my life, and you don't know what's going on in mine. But God is the champion in it all. And these things we've talked about, you and I can't handle self by myself. I can't seek in myself. I can't be satisfied of myself. I can't conquer Saul by myself. It's all about my heart being fixed concerning the sovereign. Where is God at? Is he doing everything? Is he doing anything? Why does he seem so distant? Why is he so slow in our lives when we need so much help now? See David's emphasis. Verse 1, he addresses God. Elohim, the great creator. In verse 2, he addresses God Most High, above all others. He's in a class all by himself. In verse 3, he it is that shall send from heaven and save me. He's my sure and sovereign Savior. If I go under, it'll not be because of what the devil or anybody else has done. It'll be because my Savior didn't deliver me. But he delivers. He delivers. And verse 5, he's to be exalted, O God, above the heavens, his glory above all the earth. In himself, his decrees are unchanging. To his enemies, his destruction is unavoidable. And for his elect, his deliverance is unfailing. Count on it. So if our hearts are fixed, these five things now, if our hearts are fixed concerning self, honest about what we are, and concerning seeking what we ought to be doing, crying for mercy, and concerning satisfaction that I really can't afford to trust God. He didn't lie to me. And fourth, concerning Saul, that he is going down. And five, concerning the sovereign, God will have the last word. And I must praise him now. Is your heart fixed today? That's the question. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed, fixed on you, fixed on you. Stand, sing with me together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. One more time. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What are you praising Him for? I'm praising Him because He's fixed my heart. He's fixed my heart. And I can say with the psalmist, and I'm glad I can, my heart is fixed. Oh God, my heart is fixed. Bless His holy name. I can't refix it because I didn't fix it to start with. He did. Amen. All right. Thank you for your attention.